Well, when you find your seat, if you can, no running in church. No. Turn to your 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3. I don't get titles very often, so I do have one for today. And it's, you can kind of say it a couple different ways, so whatever way you like it, you know. You can call somebody up and say, what are you doing? Or you can be angry at somebody and say, what are you doing? But that's my question to you today. What are you doing? What are you doing? Yeah, right. God, no, what are you doing? So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful day. Lord, we just pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to speak through the Word of God. Speak clearly today. Unveil it today. That our eyes and our hearts can see what it is you have for us. Lord, I pray that you would help me to deliver that which you've laid upon my heart. And Lord, give me the words to speak that. And Lord, we just love the fact that you've given us life through your word. And Lord, we just pray that as we feed on it, it feeds our spirits so much that we enjoy what we're eating today. Help us not to be finicky eaters today, but help us to eat that which is laid before us. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 28, we'll start there. I think I said 3, but we're going to start here. And now, dear children, continue in him so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know him or know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that when he appeared, so that he might take away our sins. And in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil. Because the devil has been sinning from the beginning, and the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. That's a pretty blunt distinction right there, isn't it? And anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. Let's pray. Well, we already did that, didn't we? Whew, I want to pray again. Oh, man. What are you doing? You know, throughout the scripture, I find it interesting that God is more interested in what we do once we come to him. Once we come to him, we know him as our Savior. And then we make him our Lord. We have a new king in our life, a new leader in our life that absolutely wants to lead us, guide us, and direct us. That's his promise. And so when we ask him into our life, we got to continue to walk down this road. And when we walk down this road, what we do on that road will reflect who we serve. So 1 John is all about reestablishing in a body that got off an error in their doctrine. John was trying to reestablish some truths into the people that had heard some things, and they kind of got sidetracked. And so John comes back with these basic, strong statements. Why? Because he doesn't want you to get right to the line of disobedience before you say, well, I guess I don't want to do that anymore. No, he wants to get you far away from that line of disobedience where you're all in and walking with God. That you're all in and serving him and you're not going to compromise anymore. You're not going to allow yourself to get into the walking the double road, which I did when I was younger. I could walk to church and I could worship like the best of them. I could walk out and I could do whatever I wanted and not reflect God at all. That was easy. Painful, but it's easy. Reason it's painful is because you ever rode on a fence? Yeah. It's not that much fun. That little narrow board causes a lot of pain. And we think it's okay. You know, it's just one of those things. But you know what? The reason God inspires us so much with his word is because there's so much of him, like what Carol picked out that song, there's a river that never runs dry. There's so much of him to get that there's no reason to ride the fence. There's no reason to be divided in our attention because what this world has to offer and what God has to offer, there's no comparison. No comparison at all. Because the world will offer you temporary satisfaction. God gives you a satisfaction that goes deep within and causes a deep, satisfying work in you. Why? Because ever since you were born, God put that in you to be satisfied by him, not by the world. That's why you get tired of things. That's why you don't want to do certain things anymore. Speaking of that, probably the last 2.5-3 months, I haven't watched any news at all. I really don't care what ISIS is doing. Doesn't mean that we have to be ignorant. What I'm saying is this. When I look at Facebook and I watch the news, all I hear is ISIS. What if God got that much attention? What if we shifted that and put that all on God? What would happen? He said if he'd be lifted up, he would draw men to himself. You see, and sometimes our attention gets so divided in searching out, well, we got to find out what these guys are doing and doing all this. Well, guess what? There's a story that came, the Lord just showed me this morning. Did David read the local news when he got home of what was going on when he came home from being a shepherd boy? He come out, he was sent home to go check things out, and he was walking around, and all of a sudden he hears this giant say, "We defy the ranks of God. Come and fight. Anybody come and fight?" And nobody ever went. And what did David do? He didn't go and find out what's going on. He just says, "Who is that uncircumcised giant?" Or uncircumcised Philistine. He didn't go and read the paper. He didn't have to go get background on him because he knew what God established in him while he was shepherding sheep was enough that when he came to a situation, God was big enough inside of him that he wasn't afraid of him. He wasn't fearful of what's going to happen. I really don't care what ISIS is going to do because my God is way bigger than ISIS. So don't give ISIS more attention than you give God. Don't let the news cause such a fear and worry in you that you forget that you serve a God who holds the world in his hands. He can do miracles. He can do great and mighty things. And so when that took place, David just went out and said, "Hey, let me take care of this." Nobody else would. Well, let there be a David today. Let there be a David today that says, "You know, no matter what ISIS does, I'm going to use what God has given me and we're going to slay those giants." When they come against the body of Christ, God is bigger than all of them put together. So we're going to slay those giants because God is with us. But you and I have to get that perspective from God's word. We've got to get that in us because if we're in fear, the enemy knows it. You ever been around a dog and you're scared? All of a sudden that dog knows exactly how to make you back up because you're whoop, 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 whoop. And they know how to pursue. They're not going to back down. And so it's important for you and I to learn to listen to what God's saying so that you and I are strong in him and do exactly what he's asking. Because there's going to come a day in chapter 20 or verse 28 of our reading this morning. He says, "Dear children," we know he's writing to believers, "continue in him so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed of his coming." Isn't it interesting that sometimes when you're walking with God, you're almost afraid to approach him simply because Maybe you haven't spent time with him. Maybe you're doing something that God isn't pleased with. Maybe you're trying to hide something from him. So in far as approaching him, you're like, oh, I don't know. God probably doesn't like me anymore, and I'm not sure that I should go and pray. I probably shouldn't go to church today because I haven't been living right. No, that's the time you get there. You go there so you can be educated in the Spirit of God, educated in the Word of God, and let the Word of God stir in you so that your spirit becomes greater than your flesh. The Spirit of God has to become greater in you, otherwise you will continue to walk in your flesh. You have to allow your flesh to be crucified. We've been talking about the cross. So what would happen to you and I today if everybody, when we left, we strapped a cross to our back? A literal cross. Unsanded, just rougher than rough. And we wrapped your arms around that cross, and everywhere you went, you took it with you. Why? That's what we're confessing coming here today, isn't it? I serve Jesus. I didn't come to church just to show up and hopefully get brownie points. I came here today because I walk with God. I serve God, so if I'm crucified with Christ, I crucify my flesh on the cross. Wherever I go, that cross goes with me. It hinders me from doing certain things. It'll stop you from hanging around the wrong people. Why do you have a cross on your back? I'm crucified with Christ. Oh, see ya. They ain't going to want to hang around. Why? Because you're displaying something that you believe. So you and I wouldn't be able to go and do certain things. We would be careful maybe what we thought or what we said because we have a crown of thorns poking in our back, our mind in our back. And we would be careful about what we do with our body because God provided healing for our body. So let's take care of it as best we know how. And so we get to enjoy benefiting our body with that. So if we actually took a cross and walked around with it, it should literally transform me, like even our prophetic this morning. God wants the Spirit of God to come in and transform you so much that what you do is reflecting Him. And that's so important. That's what we're here for. That's what Christ wants followers for, is that reflects Jesus Christ and Him only. And so He said, how great is the love that the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know Him and did not know Him is that it did not know Christ. Therefore, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him. I am not going to be afraid to stand before Him. Why? Because my daily walk is walking with Him, not against Him. I'm not walking away from Christ. I'm not setting Him aside to do my own thing. I'm walking with Him. And you and I have the privilege every day to have this wonderful Jesus that overcame death, hell, and the grave, and overcame Satan, overcame all these things. And we get to walk with Him? Come on. Let's walk. Let's be victorious. Let's live a life that honors and pleases Him rather than just existing in life waiting for something to happen, hoping that something will change. God wants us to walk in that walk of faith with Him, that walk of, I walk by faith, not by sight. Because there's one day we will stand before Him, but you should be able to go with confidence and unashamed. Why? Because you're crucified with Christ. You're crucified with Him. Isn't that good? How many enjoy crucifying your flesh? Yeah, me neither. But it's a necessity. It's a necessity. Why is it a necessity? Because there's no way you'll be able to stand confident before Him if you don't. Let's face it. My flesh will bring no glory to God at any time or any moment. The only thing that brings glory and honor to God is my spirit, man. The Spirit rising up inside of me to become in charge so that whatever the Spirit wants me to do, I do exactly what it wants to be done, when He wants to do it. Why? Because when I do that, I am an obedient child rather than a rebellious one. Hey, Jeff, get up and pray. Oh, Lord, I'm so tired. Don't you know I didn't get to bed too early last night? You know what time you woke me up this morning? 4:30. You know what time I went to bed? 12:30. Was it 1:30? Oh, that was your time. No. I don't know what, but the reality was, is I feel good. Because why? Because my flesh is not in control. I don't want my flesh to be in control. I can't say I've always been like that. I do honestly believe that the time that we spent in the presence of God this week with the meetings and just being around has inspired me. It stirs me. It moves me. Why? Because that's what God's presence is meant to do. His presence is to inspire you to live an upright, self-controlled, and godly life. That's God's grace, his ability to go beyond what you can naturally do yourself. So it's important that we realize that I don't have to go cowering before God. I can come with confident and unashamed before him at his coming. How can I be unashamed? By doing what he says. The one thing that Tim said about 2.5 years ago, maybe closer to 3, what if God showed me everything I was doing that he never asked me to do? That has transformed my life. Why go all through all this stuff hoping that God is pleased with it when he wants to direct me moment by moment, day by day, allowing me to be exactly as he desires, not hoping that what I'm doing is okay with God, knowing what I'm doing is okay with God. I want to know him, Paul says, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. I want to know him. If I want to know him, even in John he says, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. When I speak and I come to the entrance of the cave, there's a whole bunch of sheep from all the shepherds in the sheep pen. And when I call you out by name, everybody that doesn't have that name or doesn't follow me runs to the back of the cave, and I come running because he's called. That's what it was like on that day when they brought their sheep together. They would speak out their names of their sheep, and those sheep would come running, and the sheep that didn't have that name or didn't recognize that shepherd's voice would go back to the back of the cave because that was a stranger. God does the same thing. I want to know his name. I want to know him so much that what he wants done is absolutely more important than anything else in the world. Turn to Romans chapter 6. So once we come to know Jesus Christ, there's a thing that Paul describes of being dead to sin and alive to Christ. And he begins reading in verse 15. What then shall we say? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey them as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or obedience, which leads to righteousness. Amen. Slaves to sin, which leads to death. There's no possible way I can get in Christ and live according to my sinful nature and think that God's going to be okay with that. It's impossible. Because if I'm hooked to the vine of Jesus Christ, and he's the vine and we're the branches, there's no possible way I can bear fruit out of sin. Because I'm hooked to the vine. When I'm hooked to Jesus, I grow Jesus. When I'm hooked to my sin, I grow sin. Simple as that. A farmer goes out into the field and he plants wheat. What does he get? Wheat. A farmer goes out and plants corn. What does he get? He gets corn. A farmer goes out and plants sorghum, or a gardener goes out and plants pumpkins. What did John get? Did John plant squash and get pumpkins? No, he didn't. He planted exactly what it's supposed to be. So the only way that you and I are going to know what God wants to do is to allow him to plant his seeds in us, seeds of righteousness, by obeying what he says. Notice he said, don't you know, verse 16, that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him, so if Snickers candy bars overtakes my life, and I have a desire for Snickers, all of a sudden, it don't matter what Carol cooks, what my mother-in-law Carolyn cooks, It don't matter what anything else. If my desire is overwhelming for Snickers, I will go out of my way and go to town and get one, I promise you.
Some reason, my nose is running all, wow, it's been running for a while. Ever since I got it, it's been running. But this week has been unusual strong.
So no matter what I give my efforts and energy to, guess what? I'm going to go for that. Well, if I give sin that opportunity to be in charge, guess what? I'm going to follow sin. If I give God the opportunity to be in charge, I'll follow Jesus. That's where I become a slave to righteousness or a slave to sin. You know what it's like to be a slave? You don't get to do what you want. You go where the man in charge goes. You know, if you've ever been in jail, you know that you don't eat when you want. You don't go out and play when you want. You don't go to the store when you want. Everything is surrounded by the surroundings of what you surrender to. Or what you had to be surrendered to, what you're enslaved to. So, sometimes we see that as a bad thing in God's kingdom. No, that's a good thing. To become a slave of righteousness is to fulfill what God intentionally wanted to be done inside of me and you. I become a slave to Him. I say, Lord, I'm yours. Have your way. Do whatever needs to be done. Because when I'm a slave to Him, I'm fulfilling that seed that was planted when He created me in my mother's womb. And all of a sudden, I'm walking out that seed of righteousness that He wanted to do. Because I'm walking in obedience to His word. I'm walking in obedience to what He says. And I can become a slave to that. I don't want to go. Verna has said that for years. If you're going to follow Jesus, why would you want to go sin? Why would you want to go do that? That wouldn't produce anything. And she said that for so many years, and I appreciate that. You know, sometimes we look at her younger and say, well, Verna, don't you remember when you were young? Sometimes we got desires that are contrary. But no, it's been so grounded in her that that seed of righteousness and that seed of obedience, you don't care what comes along, you're going to walk with Him because you're considered a slave of righteousness. And we get to enjoy that walk that He has. It's a good walk. 1 John chapter 5 says His commands are not burdensome. It's not a drag to walk with God. It should be a joy to walk with Him. It's a joy. I mean, you listen to some of these guys. Eli, come up here just for a second. Tell him what God set you free from.
He set me free from just alcoholism, drug addiction, just about every drug there was I was doing. Wanted to kill myself every day, hated myself, wanted to die. Just locked myself in a room and was hoping to OD on every drug, as much of it as I could get my hands on. And then one night I just cried out to Him in desperation. And I was on ecstasy, and he poured His presence out of me when I was rolling on ecstasy, and the ecstasy became nothing. Like, no amount of drug I've ever done, no drug I've ever done could even touch Him, how He made me feel in His presence, man. The Most High, He just filled me in every way I lacked nothing, completely satisfied and filled, man, the love that was flowing through me. I found that I was looking for in everything, so now I give Him everything I got, you know? And now I live in that love every day, and I'm hooked on Jesus for life, man.
He's hooked. He's hooked. Hook, line, and sinker. He's gone. He's a slave to righteousness. A slave to righteousness. And here's the thing. You don't have to go down that road to be a slave to righteousness. My wife has never drank, has never smoked, has never done any drugs. Nothing. I'm just giving everybody time to think that through, because that's a rare testimony nowadays. There aren't too many that don't go down that road anymore. She didn't need to go down that road to be a slave to righteousness, and neither do you. Amen. So, but we're thankful God delivers both, aren't you? Amen. We become a slave to righteousness. which comes out of obedience. So I ask you, what are you doing? What are you doing? Not what you're believing. What are you doing with what you believe? Because if you're not doing anything with what you actually believe, then do you really believe it? Because James tells us faith in Christ without action is really dead faith. It's not something that you can just say, I believe in Jesus, and just exist and not do anything. Does that mean you have to go out in the streets and talk on the streets? Does that? No. God will direct you how to do that. He's a good shepherd. He'll lead you. He'll direct you. He'll expand your borders. He'll expand what God wants to do in you. But the reality is that you and I have to get to that place where we love him so much that I don't care if I've ever done it before. If you think I can do it, God, I'm in. Bottom line, quit worrying about what everybody else thinks and start worrying about what God thinks. I love it when people don't know that I'm a pastor and they talk the way they normally do around me, and all of a sudden they find out what I do. And they go, oh, please forgive me. I swear a lot. Or I do this, and it's like, you know what? I don't have that much pen and paper to take that many notes. And I don't keep track anyway. So if you're more concerned about what I think, you're in trouble. You better be more concerned about what he thinks, because one day you're going to stand before him. Either you're going to cower before him because you know how you lived, you know where you're supposed to be and where you should have been, or you can stand with confidence and say, Lord, I live for you. You are my affection. You are my all. I gave it to you. I wasn't willing to compromise. And you can stand with confidence, not arrogance. Sometimes confidence, when I see what Paul wrote, sometimes, man, that guy must have been arrogant. But there wasn't a bit of it, because God didn't correct him on any of it. He was so confident in what he served God, and he was sold out, and it didn't matter what anybody think. He served God faithfully, and boy, that's what I love about him, is that he was committed to walking with him faithfully, unapologetic of how he was serving. He was truly a slave to righteousness, and he obeyed him to follow him. So let me ask you again, what are you doing? Or what are you doing? Or however you want to say it. Because if you're not doing anything that God is asking, you're nothing more than a rebellious, rotten brat. Face it, when my kids don't obey me, I really don't enjoy it. And they put their fist up in my face and say, Dad, I don't care what you say. They'd never done that, though. Yeah, right, Haley. Yeah. But no, you can't do that to God and think you're going to get away with it. And what kind of relationship is that anyway? That's one of maybe you only God is your crisis God that'll you'll call upon him only in a crisis rather than walk with him faithfully every day. So become slave to righteousness, verse 19. Let me put this in human terms, because you are weak in natural selves. Just as you used to offer parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. Offering parts of your body? When God says, praise me, and your flesh goes, I'm tired, who are you going to listen to? Your flesh or your spirit? Because God really didn't ask how you felt. He never has in the Word of God. When he tells us to do something, he's never asked us how we felt. He just wants explicit, unapologetic obedience. And out of obedience, in walking with him, will come holiness. That's what he said. Verse 19, the end of part 19, just as you used to offer parts of your body in slavery to impurity and ever-increasing wickedness, and now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were a slave to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. You didn't give a rat's behind what God said. But now when you walk with God, you got to remember that you don't care what the devil says. What benefit did you reap in that time of the things you were now ashamed of? Those things result in death, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness and the result, eternal life. You were not meant to get saved and just exist. You were meant to get saved, walk down this road of following Jesus Christ when in an act of obedience. And when you and I walk in a road of act of obedience, which leads to holiness because we're walking and we're listening and we're doing whatever he says, guess what's going to happen? You are going to thoroughly enjoy your walk. Have you ever had a great night where the moon is shining and the stars are out and the wind's not blowing? I know that's only a couple days in North Dakota, but the wind is not blowing. And you're walking out, it's like, man, this is a perfect night. That's how it is when you walk with God. When you walk with him, it's a wonderful, peaceful, it's an amazing walk that nothing else can bring that kind of satisfaction to you. Nothing else can bring that. Only he can bring that, but he will not walk it unless you're willing to walk it. He won't make you walk it. He won't drag you. Come here, Tyson. This is going to be a big drag. He won't drag. Come on, Tyson. Don't fight me now. Come on, you're going to go pray. Tyson, come on, Tyson. You're not going to. Don't be fighting me like that. Come on, we got to go back over here, Tyson. So, but when his heart becomes submissive, then he'll follow me wherever. I don't even have to touch him. He'll just follow me. Why? Because his heart inside here was so consumed with God that he wanted to obey me. Thank you. Tyson's one of those nice guys you could have in any family and he'd be great. Yeah. He is. He reminds me of myself. Just kidding. Oh, boy. Easy in the front row over there. Yeah. But obedience, it's not a drag to walk with him. Let's quickly turn to Matthew 6. Very familiar passage of Scripture. You've probably even said it many times, but look at what it says in there. Verse 9, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Your will. Not my will. Your will be done. Where? On earth, as it is in heaven. Now, does God just want to come down and do that through the trees? Does God just want to come down and do that through the animals? No. He wants to do it through his creation, us. He wants his will to be done. Jesus, when he was in the garden, he said, Lord, if this cup can be passed from me, let it pass. But if not, not my will, but your will be done. You know what's going to bring you and I more satisfaction than anything else? Is when we totally surrender and allow him to have his way with us. And let him have our will to where our will is captivated, and let me just put it in slavery terms, we're enslaved by God's righteousness so much that I would not want to dare damage my relationship with him with disobedience. My good standing in the classroom and school was damaged when I didn't do what the teacher said. You ever have to stand up by the board and your nose in that little circle? Yeah, I had to do that once. I didn't get to sit in my chair like all the other students. I didn't get to listen. I didn't get to look around. It limited me because of my disobedience, what I could see. Disobedience will narrow stuff down so bad that you can only see what's right in front of you. Where God wants you to be walking in obedience, when you walk in obedience, he opens the pathway up so you can see down the path what's going on and where he wants you to go and what he wants you to do. And out of that will come holiness because you're walking in obedience to him. So I pray that you and I have such a great desire today to do that. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 3. I'm going to close with this verse. My pastor had this verse on his wall back when I was in high school. And this verse was written out in chain link. And as you would read it, the words would begin to stay clear, but the chain would begin to crumble. And that picture has always remained in my mind because this is exactly what Jesus came to do. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, he says, He who does what is sinful is of the devil because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Notice the verse immediately after that. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. That means I'm not going to be a free agent to go and do whatever I want when I come to Christ. I'm going to be enslaved by his presence. I'm going to be enslaved by his power. I'm going to be enslaved by his word, which ultimately brings me freedom. Freedom in Christ. And when that begins to happen, all the chains begin to break. All the chains, all the bondages, all the things, like I saw in Jason today, just trying to crowd you in. I honestly do not get that very often. When I saw you immediately this morning, I just saw that picture, and that doesn't happen to me, so I know it's not me. I know that's not me, Jason. But what God has ahead for you is so exciting. I don't know about you, but I am so excited for you. Can't wait for you to do whatever he wants, wherever he wants to go, however he wants to do it. Why? Because what's inside of you from him is so greater than what's trying to close you in. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Encourage you to put your eyes on his word, put your eyes on his face, and long to look to him. That's why many times when we're in worship, we'll just sit in his presence and nobody says a thing. It's because when I immerse myself in something, I guarantee you that if there was a jar big enough to contain me this morning and it was full of pickle juice and you put me in there for even a minute, when I come out, you know what I'm going to smell like? Pickle juice. Howard says, not me. But the reality is that when I immerse myself in God's presence, his presence has the ability to transform me to when I come out of whatever God is wanting me to do and I start walking, what am I going to smell like? I'm going to smell like his presence. And I am changed and transformed from my what I used to be to what God has in mind to become in the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. He came to destroy the works of the devil, so there's no use in helping the devil do his job, right? So you might as well get rid of your offense. You might as well get rid of your unforgiveness. You might as well get rid of your hatred. You might as well get rid of all the things that God tells you to get rid of. Envy, jealousy, fits of rage. You might as well get rid of it because it will not produce what God wants. So let God have his way in you and me this morning. And in the process of doing that, we become slaves to righteousness, which leads to holiness. And without holiness, no one will see the Lord. We heard that last night. Or was that the night before? Or the night before that? So if you want to enjoy and have confidence before God, jump in. Get in. You know my story about the swimming pool? The people standing on the gate on the outside looking, everybody swimming, having fun. No, don't do that. Go pay your entrance fee. Take up your cross. Deny yourself. Get in and go splash with Jesus. You get to swim. You get to dive. You get to hold your breath. You get to splash. You get to do all kinds of stuff. It's way more fun walking with him than wish you had. So let's all stand this morning as we close with our time. Thank you, Lord. Where are you at today? What are you doing? What are you doing? Not what do you believe, because if you believe it, then you'll do it. What are you doing? And I don't believe that God is here to condemn us about where we've been or what we have been doing, but I do believe God is here to inspire us to continue to walk down this road of righteousness, being a slave to him, which leads to holiness, which leads to pleasure to your heavenly Father. And today I want to encourage you as well as myself, because we're all in this boat together. Am I doing what God asked me to do? Am I doing what he's asking me, or am I just holding him off saying, Lord, I'm too busy? I even had a conversation with a young man the other night. He said his life was so busy, and he just felt kind of convicted that he was too busy even to do some of what God was asking him to do. And you know what? It's not God's fault that we've complicated our life so much that we're so busy that he doesn't have room. It's not God's fault. That's our fault for filling our lives up with so much stuff that God doesn't have any room. So don't blame God for your being too full of yourself. That's my fault and that's your fault. But if I empty myself, I will make room for God. And when I make room for God, don't be surprised at what God does. Man, it's wonderful. So this morning, I'm just going to ask you this question. What are you doing? And if you don't feel like you're doing what God asked you to do, I encourage you either to maybe bow at your chair or come up to the altar and make a commitment, but realize it's going to cost you something. You're going to have to let go of some things. You're going to have to probably get rid of some things that are absolutely been occupying your time that are of no value to God. So would you consider doing that this morning? I'm not going to beg you to come. I'm not going to ask you. I don't care how many come up here. You can do it in your chair. It really doesn't matter to me as long as you're listening to what he's saying. And I'm not even concerned if Carol plays or not. That's not because even though that does, God's presence does move. What if we didn't have a piano? Would you still move? What if you didn't have comfortable chairs? Would you still move? What if you didn't have shoes on? Would you still move? Don't let your comforts distract you from what God wants to do today. So as God speaks to you this morning, I'm just going to give you freedom to either just be seated or kneel or come to the altar, or if you feel like you're done, we just encourage you to go to the way, way back and visit way back there. But let those that are going to remain here hear what God's saying. Let them have that time where they just spend with him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you glory and honor and praise. Lord, we want to hear what you're saying. We want to hear what's important to you. Lord, when we walk out these doors today, it'll be a pleasure to serve you. It'll be an honor to have the cross strapped to our back, denying our flesh, but giving liberty to the freedom of the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And in doing that, it leads to holiness because we're walking in righteousness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you glory and honor and praise. Glory and honor and praise. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name.
You know, for years I would read in tracts that people would pass out Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God in Christ Jesus is eternal life. And the supposition that was proposed is that if we just accept Jesus, then we get out of sin and we have eternal life. But 23 followed 22, 21, 20, 18 that says, offer your bodies as instruments of righteousness, which leads to holiness, which leads to eternal life, which Pastor Jeff so eloquently unraveled for us. And then it goes, for the wages of sin is death. If you keep on walking in sin and offering your body as an instrument to it, it leads to death. But the gift of God in eternal is eternal life. If you offer your body as an instrument of righteousness, which leads to holiness, which leads to eternal life. And that's what we've been shouting from the rooftops, that this whole sinner's prayer thing isn't what seals the deal. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Not the sinner's prayer is the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the way, and once you find out I'm the way, then you find out I'm the truth. And 1 + 2 = 3. If you find out he's the way, and then he's the truth, then you'll live the life. He will be my life. And I don't understand why people bank on all these things that people say, you can get to heaven if you do this, when really Jesus is the way, the truth, and then the life. And John 17:3 says, now this is eternal life. Not that they pray a prayer, not that they come to church, not that they hang a cross on their neck, that they may know me. And so I think this is a crucial message for some to respond to. If you're thinking that your prayer at Bible camp is what's got you eternal life, I'm sorry, but the wages of sin is death. And if we don't offer our bodies to him in righteousness, then we're not really doing much. And God is really speaking to us this morning. And so, Lord Jesus, I just pray that every person in here may be an instrument that's open to your leading, and that you're the one playing the strings and pushing the notes. And you know, if you haven't done that, I feel strongly to just double what he said. Come up to the altar and offer yourself to him. Just, here I am, Lord. And let him have his way. Amen.
So if you feel that this morning, just go ahead and be obedient to that. I am not going to beg you to come, but I'm just going to exhort you to just stay and just give God a few minutes of your time today. Give him a little bit of your time. Let him do in you what needs to be done, because as he does that, it's amazing what can happen inside of you. Thank you, Lord. Carol, I guess if you wouldn't mind, maybe just to play a little bit, however God leads. Thank you, Lord. But just feel free to linger here, and we're not going to be in a hurry. If somebody wants prayer, come on up. We'll be glad to pray with you. But just encourage you to hear what God's saying.